Each time we come to celebrate the Eucharist, we remember the passion and death of Jesus as well as his resurrection. And today on Easter Sunday, we not only rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus, but we remember too his suffering on Good Friday, when his life was torn from him and fed to the beasts, as it were. And I suggest we remember today in our Eucharist, our prayers, many people who have been torn from their homes in the last 12 months. Perhaps, putting a figure on it, 40 million refugees in the world in our time. We remember them before God. We begin with a prayer that asks us to bring everything to God. And if we feel we have nothing to bring, then we bring our nothing to God. You must bring him everything. Your dreams, your successes, your rejoicing. And if you have little to rejoice over, bring him that little. And if your life seems only like a heap of fragments, bring him the fragments. And if you have only empty hands, bring him your empty hands. Shattered hopes are his material. In his hands, all is made good. The Royal Tour of Australia has got a lot of coverage in the press in recent days, and half the front page of yesterday's Times showed the Duchess of Cambridge running on the sand in the beach near Sydney. And inside the paper, the whole of pages 4 and 5 are given over to their tour, with photos of the dresses that Kate has been wearing during these past few days. And it was only when I got to page 46 that I read a piece of an item that should really, I think, be front page news. Not that it should dislodge the happy Royal Duchess, but meriting, I think, front page attention. It tells of Dr. Jerome Coe, a renowned French surgeon, who 3 years ago, when the anti-Gaddafi revolution was at its height, was doing specialist surgery in a hospital in Benghazi on secondment from Paris. And he stayed on when the war was over, the immediate war was over, to help the wounded. And he stayed and he stayed. And now 3 years later and about 1,000 operations behind him, he is still there, treating the wounded, free of charge. And the writer tells us that the doctor could be earning hundreds of thousands of euros a year doing bypass surgery in the top hospitals around Europe. For the past 3 days of Holy Week, we have been hearing about the part of Jesus' life where his life was taken out of his control, where his destiny was taken over by others. And the thing that has, I think, struck me most this Holy Week was the way Jesus, in his life and his destiny, was handed over to others. And the moment that this drama started was when Jesus dipped the bread in the bowl and handed it to Judas. At that instant, his life was in Judas's hands. And we all know what follows. In the garden of the Kedron Valley, Judas hands Jesus over to the temple police. And then, over the next few hours, he is handed over to Annas, who had him handcuffed and handed over to Caiaphas, who handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questions him hostilely, argues about him with the religious bigwigs of the day, and hands him over to the soldiers to be beaten. And they do more than beat him. And then they hand him back to Pilate. And Pilate presents this pathetic, battered man to the mob, who persuade Pilate to hand him over to the execution squad. And finally, his naked body, pinned to the cross, is handed over to the mob to be mocked at. And his corpse is handed over by Pilate to a stranger to be buried, not in a family grave, but in a borrowed tomb. Jesus could have escaped all this if he had fled Jerusalem in time, but he chose to stay and therefore accepted being handed over. Just the same way as the French doctor in Benghazi chose not to escape, and so could be said to have handed him over to his fate, handed himself over to his fate. A husband I spoke to during the week cares for his wife 24 hours a day. She's dying of cancer. And he can truly be said to have handed over his life to her care and attendance. An elderly couple I know who care for their schizophrenic son have handed over their lives to him. The father who sticks to a dead-end job to keep bread on the table. The mother who hasn't a minute to herself because she's run off her feet. They too have handed over their lives to their families. Every one of us has had his or her life handed over to some twist of fate, often in minor ways. But for many, the handing over has been life-destroying or deeply hurtful. We have had to go ways that we would not have chosen. We have been diverted from our chosen path. Where is God in all this? God does not demand that we accept it all as his will. It is not his will that we suffer. It is not his will that Jesus should have suffered. And Jesus did not suffer patiently. God does not expect us to put up with everything that happens to us in a spirit of resignation. Jesus howled when he was beaten. He prayed like somebody in a desperate frame of mind. He accused God of abandoning him. But he and we, in our being handed over, cling to God and know that God brings life out of death and situations. When our lives are handed over, perhaps to a path we would not have chosen, or in a way that we are not prepared for, not ready for, we have very little choice. We have to make to accept things as they are. But we can choose to do more. We can choose to embrace the handing over, choose to see light in the darkness, and even to wait in our agony. And in the embracing of the way things are, in searching for life, the light within, we discover a new life, a different life. We discover life eternal.